When you learn Chumash Rashi, so, you know, some people learn Chumash Rashi every year. You see the same Rashis again and again every year, but then all of a sudden, when you see it the 25th time or the, you know, 30th time, all of a sudden it becomes more interesting, takes a different kind of a meaning. There's a couple of Rashis in Parashas Noach. Rashi says on the pasuk at the beginning of the Mabel, where it says that they went into the Teva, and it says Nayach uvanov veishay nashay vanov. Zok Rashi, there you see, it puts the gvarim, the anashim levad, and the nashim levad, began shenesu b'tashma shamita, that they were not allowed to have tashma shamita. The couples were not allowed to be together during the Mabel. Lefisha ha'olam shori b'tzar, because since the world was shori b'tzar, so that's the time that there's an issa tashma shamita. And then at the end of the Mabel, when it says Tzeimen Ateva, the pasuk switches the lashon Ata v'ishtacha uvanach unashay vanacha, all the couples together, meaning each man with his wife. So Rashi says Mikan v'kan hutru v'tashma shamita. There, the couples were put back together because the tashma shamita was restored. So there's this inyan that Rashi over here says is bringing down from Midrashim that b'zman sha'ilam shori b'tzar, it carries over into the very personal details of a person's life, that there's an inyan of being asur v'tashma shamita. Now, over here in Parshas Noach, Rashi is bringing this down just from Midrashim. But there's another Rashi in Parshas Miketz. That's really the main place where whoever talks about this inyan talks about it in Parshas Miketz primarily, because over there, Rashi brings down the same teaching. But that time, he's not quoting a Medrash, but he's quoting a Gemara, Talmud Bavli, where it says that Yosef, right after it says that after he finished interpreting the dreams, and Pare said that Yosef should be the second to the king, and it says that he gave him a special chariot, and he gave him a wife. And then it says, Uli Yosef yulad shnei vanim, b'terem tavoy shnas harav. That he had two sons, and the pasuk speaks that, but they came before the famine. And Rashi brings down from the Gemara and Tanis, because once the famine came, he wasn't having children, because it's also the Shamash B'tasek B'shonei Ravain. So this is the Gemara in Tanis Dafir Aleph, and the Gemara actually uses the word Aser. Amr Shlakish, basically, the Gemara brings this drasha that B'terem Tavish Nasa Rav Mikan. We learn that it's Aser L'Adam Sheishamish B'tasek B'shonei Ravain, that during the years of famine, when there's a famine afflicting the world, then there's an issur for a husband and wife to have tashma shamita.
Is it even something
that wasn't yet? So then the next line of the Gemara, interesting. The very next line of the Gemara is Tana. The Gemara adds one detail. The Gemara says, but in a braisa, it was taught, chasuche vonim misham shemitesehem mishonei ravain. That those that are chasuche vonim, so what's the chasuche vonim? So most Rishonim learn that it's that chasuchim means withheld. Like the pasuk in Bereshis by the Akedah, Atoyadat Kirei Likim Ata Valech Chasachta Spinchas Echidch Mimeni, Hashem credits Avram Avinu that he didn't withhold even his child. So over here, Chasuche Banim means one who has children withheld from him, meaning somebody who is never childless, doesn't have children, so he's allowed to be Mishamish B'tasei. Pashup Shadim means that because for him it's more of a tzorech, so there we allow it. For other people we say that you shouldn't, but for him he's allowed. There is, I'm going to mention, there's a very interesting Ritva over there who has a whole different shot, but it's against all the other Mepharshim. We don't accept this Ritva. But there's a nice kash on it also. But the Ritva says he doesn't like this Taish of Chasuche Vanim. He doesn't even like this reading. He says, I never saw the word used that way, that, you know, if some of children are withheld, you could say somebody who's childless. Misha Ein Leibanim. What's this word Chasuche Vanim? So he says, I think we're misreading it. You know, we're reading it with a sin, as if the dot is on the left side. Well, there's no dots in the Talmud Bavli, right? So he says, put the dot on the right side. Chashuche vanim. And then from the word choshech. And then what it means is one whose banim are b'choshech, that he's not having nachas from his children. Someone who's not being nachas from children, someone whose children are not being nei kishura, and then so he's reading that word differently, and then he says, and I'll read the next word differently also. It doesn't say, when it says chasuche, again, according to the Rishonim, chasuche vanim, Mishamshim Mitesem, it's not giving a heter that they're allowed to be Mishamshim Mitesem, it's giving a diagnosis. It's saying that you know why they're Chashuch Evanim, because they were Mishamshim Mitesem B'Shanei Ravin. That, which, or more globally, I guess, probably the idea is that the whole Inyan, right, what's this Gemara saying, right? The Asal Adam Sheshamish B'Shanei B'Shanei Ravin, the idea is because a person has to be Mishatev Atzmeim Atzibur B'Shas Tzar, when the Tzibur is B'Tzar. So a person has to feel connected to the tzibur and can't be indulging too much when other people are deprived. So, and on that, the Gemara is saying, Zach the Ritva, that if somebody is lacking in that midah, so that's going to have consequences in the children. That's the Ritva's pshat. It's a totally different meaning of the Gemara than everybody else, and it's a very, maybe, provocative claim that he's making. I'll just be ma'ayir, besides for the fact that every other commentary, I mean, the Rashi and the Rambam and the Ran and the Meiri, and the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, the Rush, everybody learns not like the Ritva. Well, right, they read it as a Chesuchim and they learn that it means somebody who doesn't have children has a heter to be Mishamish Mitasam. But I just have a Ha'ara to add that the Ritva, the reason why he went and he said this Pshat, this very Mechudish to Kapshat, not like everybody else, his whole Kasha on everybody else's Pshat is that we never found this Lashon used this way. It's a very unusual word. Who would describe a childless person as Chesuchim Vanim? And I don't know what to say, but there's another Gemara. The term appears in another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Ervin Dav Chav Ches. It's totally a non-halachic piece of Gemara. The Gemara is, you know, sometimes the Gemara gets into medical stuff and health stuff, and the Gemara says that there's a certain kind of vegetable called good gedanios, and I don't know what it is, but from the context, it seems that it's some kind of a vegetable that you eat it when it's not ripe enough yet. And the Gemara is coming to make the point that it's bad for fertility. If a person eats this vegetable called good gedanios, it's going to mess up his fertility. The way the Gemara expresses it, the Gemara says it in a kind of sarcastic way. Merube banim yoichlu good gedanios. If somebody has enough children, he should eat good gedanios. Chasuche banim. If somebody has children withheld, so he wants to have children, lo yoichlu good gedanios. He shouldn't eat good gedanios. Okay, so putting aside the discussion about good gedanios, but I see from there that this is a term that Chazal used to describe someone that doesn't have children. So the Ritva's whole kasha that we never found this expression anywhere. I don't know what to say. We have this in Gemara and Erevin. So it's an interesting Ritva, but it's not the mainstream reading of the Gemara.
Halachically, the same as all the other
Rishonim. No, halachically, according to the Ritva, it may come out that there is no heter for somebody that doesn't have children. That the Isser, again, we'll discuss to what extent this is a real Isser, but taking the words of the Gemara at face value, the Isser, L'shamash B'tas B'shanei Ravain, all the Rishonim hold that there's a heter for someone that doesn't have children, but according to the Ritva, there may not be such a heter.
Mm-hmm. How does he read the words?
Chashuch Evanim, Mishamshim Mitesehem, meaning they were Mishamish Mitesehem, B'shanei Ravain.
The sentence is not really set up properly.
Syntax.
Yeah. Why?
No, because it's not a result of what the Ritva is saying is that if they do that,
then they'll wind up chashuch evanim.
Yeah.
So the way the sentence reads is, if you see him chashuch evanim, that means he was mishamshim
b'tzeim
b'shanei
ravain.
But the syntax is more unusual like that.
Yeah, okay. But also, you can say the Ritva could have learned the Gemara that was in an instance where they didn't have banim.
According to the Ritva,
that's why they were chashuch evanim, meaning. I don't know why the Dafka said that the case was. I mean, it could have been in the Kibda that the Gemara was talking about a case where they didn't have banim banus, and they did have banim banus and they had children, and those were going to be chashuch banim. But if you didn't have banim banus, then they wouldn't be chashuch banim.
You mean there's no riot at the Ritva doesn't hold of a heter of somebody that wasn't Mekayim Peruvu. That's true, but there's no riot that he does, meaning there's no Gemara then that says that it's mutter. According to everybody else, that's what the Gemara is coming to say. Okay, but all right, putting that Ritva aside, it's an interesting Gemara Makam, but again, it's not the mainstream position. But what the Gemara, what is, this is a Shtukl Gemara, nobody argues with it, is that the Gemara does say that is Asul Shamash Matas B'Shanei Ravain, which sounds like a very startling statement, la halacha, and obviously, you know, like I said, it's, you know, this year is something that is more on people's minds. People are being aware of this shayla. Is that an issue, la halacha, that people have to be mischashiv with if we're living in an eis tzara? You know, the Gemara says about B'shani Rava, when it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber also says B'shani Rava, and that means times of famine. The Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch brings it down in two places. Simin Reish Mem, what's Simin Reish Mem about? Simin Reish Mem is all about in Yanei Tznius Tashmish Rebbe Bein Ishl Ishtai. That's what Simin Reish Mem is about. And then it's brought down again. So in Simin Reish Mem, I think Sif Yud Beis, the Mechaber brings down this Gemara. And then again in Simin Tuf Kuf Ayin Dal, which is Hilchas Tanis, talking about how you make a Tanis when there's a Tzara taking place. So there he's talking about what goes on when a Tzara is taking place. And again, he brings down this Halacha. But if you take a look in Simin Reish Mem, the Ramah adds that the same is true for other Tzarais. Other Tzarais, Shehem Kiravain. That if you have a different Tzara, which is also like a Ravain, then you'll have the same Halacha also. That Ramah, of course, you know, greatly broadens the scope of this and makes it much more relevant to, you know, to current events. The discussions in the Rishonim about the sugya really center around a particular kasha that Tosfos asks. Tosfos says that we find that we there's a medrash which also Rashi brings down. It's a Gemara. And Rashi and Chumash brings it down at the beginning of Sefer Shemais, where it says that Bnei Yisrael came down and there was Shivim Nefesh, and Rashi says, but you count them up and there are only 69. It says that the Yerdim Mitzrayim were Shivim Nefesh, but there are only 69 when you count them up. And Rashi says that the 70th was Yecheved, and she's not listed, she's not counted among the Yerdim Mitzrayim because she wasn't really there when they were going down to Mitzrayim. She was Nilda Bein Achimais. She was born on the way in. So the Gemara says, that's the Gemara. So Frek Tosfos, if she was born on the way in to Mitzrayim, so that means that she was conceived sometime in the previous year, which was in the middle of the famine. The very famine that the Gemara is talking about when it says that Yosef wasn't being Mishamish Mitelsei, because also Mishamish Mitelsei, B'shani Ravain, in the middle of that very famine, Levi's wife became pregnant with a daughter Yecheved. So Levi was Mishamish Mitelsei. That's Tosfos' Kasha. So there's a bunch of tourism that we find in Rishonim to this. So, and each one is interesting for another reason. So what do you mean he was Chesu Chibonim? Well, Levi had four sons.
Before?
Yeah, because it's his sons.
One year, son and daughter.
So that's one of the answers. Let me put a different one first, and then we'll come to that one second. What? So we're gonna get into that a little bit. Yeah, that's like a fun twist that's coming up. Lean out there. But first the Torah is from the Ran. The Ran and the Ritva also, we still like him. the Ritva says the same Torah as the Ran. They say a very important Yisoid, which is a Yisoid far beyond this the discussion of this Gemara and Tanis Daf Yud Aleph, but it's really Yisoid in you know how we go about responding to world events. Zok the Ran, this halacha that it's us l'sham shas b'shani rabin, which the underlying theme clearly, to whatever extent we're going to end up deciding that the actual instructions of the Gemara are binding or not binding, halacha l'maisa, but the theme of the Gemara is that one has to be b'tzar when other people are b'tzar. When the olam is b'tzar, you have to be b'tzar. Zok the Ran, this does not mean when there's a tzar in the Umay Ta'ilam. When there's no expectation for Klal Yisrael to respond to this degree when the Umay Ta'ilam are tzar. It's dafka because of the special closeness that we feel, Achinu B'nai Yisrael, so then when Achinu B'nai Yisrael are tzar, so then Chazal impose certain restrictions, including this halacha, the Asal Shami Shepasa B'Shanei Ravain. Now, ordinarily, if there's a if there's a famine, so it afflicts the whole Medina, and if we hear about how in Central Africa there is a famine, so there's no reason that doesn't affect us. But if there would be a famine in America, I'd say here in New York, so obviously it affects Goyim, it affects Yidden also. So that would be negative for us personally. But if you think back to the times of Levi and Yosef, so then the Jewish people were a very small group. So for the most, the whole Middle East had a famine. Okay, but they're all goyim over there, except for one family. Levi was with that family, And he had access to the, you know, to the bank account statements, and he knew they were doing okay. They were doing okay. The Gemara says, all right, there's a Rashi on the Pasuk and Parshas Mikates where Yaakov says to his sons, I heard the Yeshiva B'Mitzvayim and Lama Tisra'u. So Rashi over there brings down from the Gemara also in Tanis, it's on Daf Yud, that Lama Tisra'u means that we're not really desperate, but we don't want to stand out. Everybody else is going to Mitzrayim. We're very gevenched that we have enough food. We're not hungry, but we don't want that to be obvious to everybody else. So go down to Mitzrayim and buy some food.
Didn't that change at some point?
Yes. So it does seem that in the second Yerida, where after they came back and they said, we can't go back without Binyamin. And then Yaakov says, I'm not letting you go back. But then eventually it sounds from the Pesukim that they were Besakaras Nefashis Mamish. So the Ran doesn't speak all this out, but I assume that you have to explain the Ran that he's talking about in the first Yerida. At the time they went down the first time, because again, we just have to answer how Levi's wife became pregnant. So, it's, you know, that could have happened. You know, that obviously happened 9 months before. So good, that could be at the time of the first Yerida. And at that time, they were not Betzar. All their neighbors, the whole Eretz Canaan was Betzar, but they weren't. So there's no halacha, they have to not be Misham Shertasa because the Goyim are suffering from a famine. And they were not suffering from the famine. So Levi, therefore, wasn't bound by this halacha. But Yosef was a Mitzrayim. He knew that he had a Jewish family and they lived in Eretz Canaan. And he didn't have access to their bank records. And the people of Canaan were suffering. So for him, there was Achenim and Israel who were Betzar of Ashanei Ravain. So for him, it was also L'Shamash B'Tosai. But for Levi, since he knew that the Yidden were okay, so for him, it was just the Goyim were B'Ravain, so there's no Isser for that. The Ran and the Mitzvah, it's brought down in the Beis Yosef. There's a detail that I have to work out. Why didn't Levi have to worry about the fact that there's one more Jew, Yosef, and we don't know where he is or how he's doing? So the words of the Ran, a simple answer was that they thought he's probably dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, also they sold him to, I mean, they didn't kill him, they know that they sold him to slavery, but they sold him to slavery in Mitzrayim. So maybe they thought that, you know, in all likelihood, one of two things, either he's dead, in which case, okay, he's not suffering from a famine, or he's in Mitzrayim, in which case also he's not suffering from the Mitzrayim, because Yeshever in Mitzrayim, they were going to Mitzrayim, because in Mitzrayim there was food.
But the whole reason why Yosef abstained is because in Mitzrayim there was a famine.
No, so maybe what the Ran is saying is that he abstained because in Canaan there was a famine. That's what the Ran is saying, that he wasn't abstaining because of the Mitzrayim, he was abstaining because of his own family, because that was the B'nai Yisrael.
That fits better.
So that's how the Ran answers the kasha, why Levi was with his wife, but Yosef was away from his wife. But the Seidah Dover is that we respond very differently. You know, sometimes the Umay Sa'ilam, and maybe even sometimes Jewish people also, have tainus on the way Yidden traditionally respond to tzareis. And one of the tainus is that, you know, you're making it out as if you're such caring, sensitive people, but when, you know, there's this religious minority in China that's being persecuted and the people in Myanmar that are being persecuted, and the answer is, Anachanami, nobody's supposed to be equally affected by everybody's tzar. It shouldn't be callous if people are tzar. You know, Maisei Yod Tovim Bayam. It's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. But everybody is much more affected when it's their brother, their sister. So our mile is simply that we have a very large sense of brothers and sisters. We have, there's an achdus and an ava among Klal Yisrael. So we have a sense of, that any time that it's Jewish people, that's, we feel very close. And in Echonami, it's unfortunate whenever there's people are suffering, but we don't have to take drastic measures for that. But for when it's a chenim in Yisrael, then we do have to take drastic measures. So that's the state of the Ran. That's one teretz. There's a teretz in the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi, that's the classic commentary, the main commentary on Rashi al HaChumash. Rashi al HaChumash al HaTorah. There's the, when people are much more familiar with the Sifsei Chachamim, because that's in the Mekoreis Gedolos Chumash. The Sifsei Chachamim is largely a digest of the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi and some other Mefarshei Rashi. But the main commentary on Rashi is the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi.
His name was
Mizrahi. Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Sometimes he's called the Re'im, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. So he brings down this kasha when Rashi says the Baterim Tavish Nasarov that Yosef wasn't Mishnah Mishpatas Bishani Rabbin. So he says, well, but the Rai has a kasha. Why is it different than Levi? Levi, we see he was Mishnah Mishpatas Bishani Rabbin. So he says because Levi didn't have any daughters. He had four sons, but no daughters. So he wasn't Mekayim Puravu yet. If he wasn't Mekayim Puravu, so that goes into the category of Chasuch Evanim. So for Levi, so that's why it was Mutar.
What? Why does Gemara leave out Vanos included? Or just... Meaning
you mean the expression chasuch evanim? The expression chasuch evanim? Yeah.
What? In general term.
Right. When you mean children in general, you use the word banim. Right. Yeah. Usually in Lashon Kodesh, you'll use a Lashon Zachar if it's generic. Yeah. If you're referring to an akevites, then you'll use Lashon Akeva, but you don't only use Lashon Zachar when you're referring to Zacharim. Anything that's generic, you'll use Lashon Zachar. Right. So he said. So his answer is that Levi can't qualify for chasuch evanim. So it's an interesting chiddush. This Mizrahi, the Taz on Shulchan Aruch in Taf Kufayin Dalet, he brings him down, and he says, no way that Levi qualifies for the exemption of chasuch evanim. He had a geshmak and mishpacha. He had four sons, four nice fine sons that he was getting nachas from. It was a lively household. That's called chasuch evanim. Chasuch Evanim means somebody who's never childless. But if you have a mishpacha, they're all boys, not girls. Yeah, there's a mitzvah puravu, and in that there is a shir as a machlokes b'shilal b'shamay, and we pass in like b'shilal that the shir requires a zachar and a keva. So fine, you can tell me that Levi was not yet mekayim the mitzvah puravu, but the Gemara that gives a dispensation for Chasuch Evanim, he says, sounds to me like it means somebody who's Nebuch suffering because he doesn't have children. Someone who has four boys doesn't qualify for that Nebuch suffering because he doesn't have children. So the Taz says he doesn't agree with this Chiddush of the Mizrahi. But the words of the Taz notwithstanding, in the Rishonim really do bear out what the Mizrahi said. The Lashon of Rashi on the words Chasuch Evanim is Shalei Kiyam Pira V'Rivya. And the Rambam, who brings down this Gemara, because again, it's treated by the Paiskim as being a halacha dekha Gemara, the Rambam in Parag Gimel of Hilchos Tanis, he brings down this halacha that Asal Shamash Mishpatas B'Shani Ravain, and then he says a dispensation, he doesn't use the words Chasuch Evanim, he says Mishalei Kiyam Mitzvah Puravu. The Rambam directly connects it to the Mitzvah Puravu. This is in the Shavos Yaakov. Shavos Yaakov actually was writing a tshuva lahalacha lamaisa about this topic, and he says that he was in Prague in, what did he say it was? I think in 1723 there was an epidemic in Prague, and he says they were being noyig this iser, and he was asked by somebody, somebody that had sons but no daughters. And he writes that although the Taz asers it, but we shouldn't pass it like that, Taz. It's against Rashi, it's against the Rambam, it's against the Mizrahi. Okay, the Taz felt he could argue with the Mizrahi, but he can't argue on everybody. And therefore he says that we don't pass it like this, Taz. So if you weren't Mekayim Puravu, according to its official rules, then you're allowed to be Misham Shetaz B'Shani Ravain. Now, the other interesting thing about this Taz and the Mizrahi is here he's saying that Levi qualified for Chasuch Evanim even though he had sons, he had no daughters. So frek the Beis Yosef on the Mizrahi. So why was Yosef then bound by the whole halacha is learned from Yosef, that Yosef, he had his children, Baterim Tov Shnas Arav, but once the Shnas Arav came, he wasn't being Mishamish B'Tasei anymore. Why wasn't he also Chasuch Evanim? He had Menashe and Ephraim. He just had two sons. He didn't have any daughters. At least we don't see in Torah that he had daughters. And the Rishonim says more that if he would have had daughters, then the Gemara wouldn't have had to make up that Yecheved was born Ben Achaymais to explain who was number 70. Let Yosef's daughter be number 70. So Yosef says he thinks that's a riot, that Yosef didn't have any daughters. But this is for sure. We don't find in the Pesukim that he had daughters. So There's no more evidence that he had daughters than Levi had daughters. So the same way that we could say that Levi wasn't allowed to be Misham B'Shtasa because he was allowed to be Misham B'Shtasa because he was included in Chasuch Yevanim, why don't we say the same thing for Yosef? He had sons but not daughters.
Maybe it's a Raya Rebbe Shammai.
So maybe you'll say because he
holds like Beis Shammai.
He holds like Beis Shammai, so he's not considered Chasuch Yevanim. But wait, if you say it's a Raya to Beis Shammai, but then what's your teres for Levi? So this is mamish, but then you find in Rishonim, I couldn't believe, in Rishonim, we find this shtickle Torah. In the Das Zakenim of Bali HaTosfos, he says that perhaps Levi and Yosef, the Shiftei Ka, were arguing in the Machlokes B'Shil of Shammai. The Mishnah in Yevam Samach Aleph says, what's the Shir of Peruvu according to Beis Hillel, it's a Zachar and a Keva. But according to Beis Shammai, it's two Zacharim, which means that according, so Levi and Yosef had a similar family. According to Beis Shammai, they were Yosef Peruvu. According to Beis Hillel, they weren't Yosef Peruvu. So Dazakin of Aleph Tesis says, Levi held like Beis Hillel, so he didn't have any daughters, he wasn't Yosef Peruvu, so he was allowed to be Misham B'Shtasa. But Yosef held like Beis Shammai, and since he had two sons, so he was B'Kayim Peruvu, so he wasn't allowed to be Misham B'Shtasa. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a surprising, you know, I wouldn't at all be surprised to see it in the Achrenim, you know, this type of drush. But I was surprised to see this in Das Zakenim Valei HaTosfos. I didn't see it, whatever, I saw it brought down, but shame, Das Zakenim Valei HaTosfos. Then I looked it up, I saw it. It is surprising. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe it could be Moshe for Oimek. Now, this is a little bit, like Kabbalah Dekarei. This is over my head. I don't really know how this stuff works. But you know, maybe it's not stam random that we could say, okay, Levi held like Beis Hillel, Yosef held like Beis Shammai. Let's start with Yosef. Yosef is easy. Yosef is one of the seven Ushpizim. The seven Ushpizim are all connected to the seven Midates. Right? Obviously, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David are connected to Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hayit, Yisrael, Malchus. So Yosef is Yisrael. Now, Levi is not one of the Ushpizim, but Levi is most closely associated with Aaron HaKayin, and Aaron is Hayit. So Levi and Yosef maybe represent Hayit and Yisrael. Hoid, which is the meat of Aaron HaKayin, Aaron was, you know, his hallmark was the Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. So he, again, I keep on using the word associated. Aaron is, you could see why he'd be associated with Hillel. The Midas of Hillel seem to have their roots in Aaron HaKayin, the Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. That's very much what, you know, how we see Hillel in the story where the person made a bet about that he'd be able to get him angry. The story about where someone came and said, you know, teach me called Torah Kulal Bergalachas, and he didn't drive him away with the Damas of Inshabiyadim.
And the fact that he listened to Beis Shammai. Right?
And the fact that Beis Hillel, right, would listen to Beis Shammai, right, is the Midah of Anova. Now, Yosef is the Midas Yisoid. Yisoid is associated with Precious, right? Yisoid Tzadik, Yisoid Oilam. Yisoid is very much connected with Kedusha in Inyan Arayis. It's Precious, it's withholding, abstaining. That's the tchuna of that's associated with the Midah of Yisoid, which is an Inyan of Chumrah. And you could see that could be associated more with the Tchunas HaNefesh of Shammai, as opposed to Tchunas Nefesh of Hillel. So maybe there's some Shirashim to this idea of saying,
why is that?
The Midah of Yisoid is about Precious, which is associated with Chumrah. So maybe there's some Shirashim to this idea of saying Yosef held like Beis Shammai and Levi held like Beis Hillel. But again, I don't know if there's anything correct about what I'm saying in this, but I'm just sharing a thought that maybe, you know, connections. Okay. Anyway, so this is but the Dazakin Malatesa says what he says. He says that for Levi it was mutter because he held like Beis Hillel, and for Yosef it was us because he held like Beis Shammai. You know, once he opens the door to be mafalpel and, you know, make shtickle Torah with this machlokes Levi and Yosef, so I saw brought down. I saw this in the Sefer Tehillah Yonah. He quotes from a Chasam Sefer, I was. He said the Chassam Sefer Pashas Miketz. I looked in all the svarim of the Chassam Sefer Al Torah. I wasn't able to find. I don't know. I don't know what he's referring to. I didn't find anything like this in the Chassam Sefer. But I saw in this Sefer Tehillah Yoina, attributing to the Chassam Sefer, he said a vart, like he said something in a line, and I'm just elaborating on it a little bit to try to build it up into a full Shtikl Torah. But it's a very interesting possibility as follows. There's a mitzvah of Puruvu. That's a pasuk in the Torah in Bereishis. There's also a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya that says Lo Yilaseyu V'Ra'a L'Shaves Yitzara, that Hashem didn't create the world to be desolate. The Torah, Hashem created the world to be populated. The Gemara mentions this pasuk. The Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Gittin Daf Mem Beis where it talks about a Chatzi Evav Chatzi Ben Chayvin. What do you do with a Chatzi Evav Chatzi Ben Chayvin? And the first Basil say that, okay, let him switch off days. One day he should work for himself, one day he should work for his master. And Mishama said to Basil, you're missing the point. He, it's not just a problem of who is he going to work for, but how is he going to live? Lisa Shifcha Eine Yachal. He can't marry a Shifcha because he has a Tzad Cheiras. Lisa Ben Baschairin Eine Yachal because he has a Tzad Avdus. So what is he going to do? Just stay without a wife? The Torah says l'sheves yitzara. It says l'sheves yitzara. So it's an emergency. We have to get him into a situation that he's able to get married. And so the Mishnah says that Beishamai said that we're keeping this rabbi. We force his master. Some once a guy is in this matzav that he's half free, the master has to free him. The other half, it's costing money. Okay, he should be compensated, but he's got to give him a shtar shichur. And then the Mishnah ends off, V'chozu Beisil, he was given Shammai. It was such a compelling argument that Beisil also agreed, and that's the halacha, that you have to free the Chatzi Yav HaChatzi Mecharim because it says L'Sheves. Frek Taisvis, why did the Mishnah mention the Pasuk of L'Sheves? We all know the Pasuk of Puruvu. Why didn't it say that if you have this guy that never can't get married, so we should be Meshachar him for the Mitzvah of Puruvu?
Maybe he had kids ready.
Huh?
Maybe he had kids ready before he came in.
Before he's an Eved, maybe, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, what do you mean before he became an Eved? He's an Eved Kanani. He had kids as a guy, then that's not a king of Puruvu. So Tais says, why didn't the Gemara mention Puruvu? Zuck Tais says, because Puruvu is for a much more limited audience. Only Yidden are Chayiv in Puruvu. But the whole world is Chayiv in L'Sheves. And since this guy, and then Tais says, the details of Tais are a little more confusing, but that's, Tais makes that point, that L'Sheves is much broader because that applies to everyone. Okay. Now, and Tais also says that L'Sheves, that doesn't have Shiurim, right? The Mishnah in Yevamos that talks about, Shammai says, two Zacharim, Mitzvah, Zayazachar, and Nekeva, that's if you're a Yisrael, and you have the mitzvah of the Torah, and it says Puruvu, so there's a Shir in Hayim Mekayim Puruvu. L'Sheves just means to populate the world. So you're Mekayim with a culture. That's the Lashon of Tais. You're Mekayim that with a culture. Okay, so that's the first Akdama. That there's an Indian of L'Sheves, which applies to everyone, not just to Yidin, and you're Mekayim with a culture. Second Akdama. Let's go off into the left field. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol Torah Kula. Presumably Yitzchak Yaakov also Mekayim Kol Torah Kula. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to marry two sisters. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. There's many terutzim. I think we maybe even had a shiur on this topic at some point. But the words of the Ramban, the very famous Torah of the Ramban says Yaakov Avinu was only Mekayim Kol Torah Kula. He was only Mekayim in the midst of the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, he was Mekayim in the midst of the Torah. In Chutz Laretz, he wasn't. Where did he marry Rachel and Leah? In Aram. When he was in Aram, he married Rachel and Leah. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated things that as soon as he came back to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel died. He never had two, he was never married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. That's the state of the Ramban. So now, putting this all together, let's assume that as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are Mekayim Kol Torah Kula, so their children after them, the Shiftei Ka, Levi was Mekayim in the midst of the Torah. So he had a mitzvah of Puruvu. According to the mitzvah of Puruvu, you're only Yitzchak if you have a Zachar and a Keva. He had four sons, but he had no daughters, so he's still Bechlal Chasuch Evanim. And therefore, he was allowed to be Meshamish Petasai. Like the Mizrahi said, he was Meshamish Petasai because he had no daughters, he was Bechlal Chasuch Evanim. But Yosef had the same chinuch as the rest of his brothers. He also knew about people kaim kol tar kula, but only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, that was his mistake from his father in Eretz Yisrael when kaim kol tar kula. But Yosef was a Mitzrayim, so Yosef wasn't keeping the tarayeg mitzvahs. So he didn't have a mitzvah of puravu. All he had was a mitzvah of l'sheves. L'sheves doesn't have a shear of a zachar and a cable. L'sheves is a kol tohu, and he had two sons. He had Yosef and Menashe. That's enough for l'sheves, and therefore for him there was an isur tashlumi to mitzvah b'shani rabbein. So he wasn't being mishamish mitzvah because since he was in chutz la'aretz, so he was treating himself like a ben noyach. A ben noyach doesn't have a shear of a zachar and a cable. It's just l'sheves. So he wasn't missing anything. He wasn't chasu chayvonim. So he was also l'shamish mitzvah. But Levi was in Eretz Yisrael. He was keeping the tarig mitzvah. It's puru who has a shear of zachar and a cable. So he was b'chal chasu chayvonim. That's a pilpul dika chap, yeah, to be mazbir why Levi was being machman and Yitzchak was not. Al kaponim, we learned so far two terutzim in the Rishonim. The Ran, who said there's a difference between a tsar of Yidden and a tsar of Goyim. The Mizrahi, who said that Levi was makel because he didn't have any daughters. But now let's come back to Taisus. Taisus, he's the one that started this discussion. He asked the Kasha. Remember, the Kasha was that here the Gemara says that Yitzchak wasn't Misham Shpatas B'Shonei Ravain. But Levi was, you know, also supposed to be from Yid, and it was the same Ravin, the same Shani Ravin, and he was Mishamish Mutasai. So Taisvis says, Taisvis' Teres is really the one that shakes up the whole Sugya. Taisvis says, it's not a real Isser. It wasn't really Isser for anybody. It's just a Midas Chasidus. And Yosef felt like being this Midas Chasidus. But Levi didn't feel like being negative. This means this. Nobody has to, or nobody had to. That's what Taisus says. It wasn't incumbent on anybody. It was a midas chasidus, the words of Taisus. Midas chasidus, and Yosef felt like doing it, and Levi didn't feel like doing it. Now, okay, if you say that, so then you don't have to make any fancy hasbeirim. You know, what's the chilek between one and the other? He felt like doing it. He didn't feel like doing it. It's just a midas chasidus. But many mepharshim are bothered. How could they say such a thing? The words of the Gemara are Amar Shlakish, Asur l'shamish b'tasu b'shani ravain. Could you take a Gemara that says Asur and say that it just means midas chasidus? So this is the Taz asks this kasha on Taisus. The Taz says, I can't believe that the Gemara Asur l'shamish b'tasu could mean midas chasidus. It says Asur. So he doesn't say, therefore, I argue with Taisus, I disagree with Taisus. He says, you have to reinterpret Taisus. The Taz says something very interesting. It says, when Taisus says Midas Chasidus, he doesn't mean for Atzas Midas Chasidus. We follow the halacha, as it says in the Gemara, Rish Lakish says, Asul Shamash Mitas B'Shani Ravain. That's an Isra, that's not a Midas Chasidus. But the Taisus is going on the on Bereshis, on the Psukim, on the stories in Bereshis, where Rish Lakish said, I'm learning it from Yosef, that it said that his sons were born with Terem Tavish Nasa Ravi, he wasn't Misham Shaz B'Shani Rabin. On that, Taisus is saying, that was just a Midas Chasidus. Meaning, because before Matan Torah, you didn't have Tariq Mitzvahs. They were just B'nai Noyach. They didn't really, this halacha, also the Shamish B'Shani Rabin, it's not one of the seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, that's for sure. And maybe we would say even more. That's what the Taz says. It's not even really one of the Tariq Mitzvahs either. I mean, it's not a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. It's, we'll call it a Midah Tova. I mean, so back then, when these things weren't legislated, so it was a Midah Tova. It was a certain feeling of empathy, of Naisei Ba'olam Chaveri, and Yosef felt like doing that, and maybe Levi was expressing his Nesias Ba'olam in other ways, and maybe, you know, he was raising money for the, you know, people that were Bitzar, but he wasn't doing this thing. Okay, that, you know, he's the one. At that time, it wasn't legislated. So it was just a Midas Chasidus. Yosef did it, Levi didn't. But then Yosef, who did it, the Torah calls attention to it. It says, B'terem Tavei Shnas HaRav, that Yosef was Mishamash Patas B'Shani Ravan. And Rish Lakish says, oh, I see that the Torah was impressed with this Midas Tavei of Yosef. The Torah was Meramis to it. So that means it's something that's worthwhile to do. So we're making it a halacha. So it's a halacha from the Talmud Bavli. Rish Lakish is making the halacha. What he saw in the Torah is that it's a midah teiva, a midas chasidus. But right, that Yosef was noyeg, and he said that if the Torah highlights this midas chasidus of Yosef, that means the Torah thinks it's a nice thing, it's a good idea, so we should do it. So I'm telling you, I, as Chazal, I'm telling you that if the Torah called this a midas taiva, we should do it. So for us, it's a halacha, but for them, it was just a midas chasidus. That's what the Taz says Taisus means. Because it can't be that Taisus is just undoing the word Aser in the Gemara. Okay, that's the Taz's Taish and Taisus. But the Chida says that I think you can really take Taisus at face value. The words of Taisus are Midas Chasidus. And what's your big kasha that how could you call something Midas Chasidus if it's Mefurish in the Gemara that it's Aser? So he says there's a really great Maror Makom to know that can help shed light on a lot of Gemaras. And he said, I think this is what's going on over here. It's a Ritva in Megillah Dav Chav Ches. I'm going to tell you over Ritva in Megillah Dav Chav Ches, but you have to be very careful with it. You can't say it over to just anyone. Because this Ritva, you could call a foundation of Reformed Judaism. A person could take this Ritva and go, you know, changing whatever he wants. Because listen to what the Ritva says. That Zok the Ritva, just because it says Aser in a Gemara, that doesn't always mean that it's Aser. Now, you can imagine that, you know, if that falls into the wrong hands, what people might do with that. But what the Ritva says is that you have to read a Gemara carefully and be sensitive to context, and then you should be able to figure out what it really means. But not every time that the Gemara says Aser does it really mean his words. Iser de'iraisa or Iser de'rabanan. Not every Aser means Dairaisa or even Dirabanan. Sometimes it's not even Asa Dirabanan. And the Gemara says Asa, and all it means is the Midas Chasidus. That's what the Ritva says. And the Ritva says, I'll give you an example.
What is the Ritva speaking? Which context?
So the Gemara that he's going on, it says over there that one of the Amirayim said that, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of, tastily, I get a lot of credit because I never made a shutfus with a guy. Maybe add to the story that maybe he once had an opportunity and it would have been very lucrative, but he refrained from it. So he said, I think I get a lot of credit for that. So the Rishenu over there asked the Kasha, well, why do you get a lot of credit for that? That's a halacha. It's Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel. It says, Asal Adam to make a shutvitz with a goy. And the Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yishama V'Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Yishama Al Picha, that you're not allowed to bring about, that people will be swearing in the name of a false god. And since, you know, if you make a partnership, so sometimes there's friction, and then there's a court case, and then there could be a shvua, and that shvua, if you're shutif as a guy, so then he'll be using the name of a false god. So shem alim achem leisham al picha. You're not allowed to make a shutif with a guy. So Rishenim asked, how could this Amirim Megillah Daf Chav Ches say, I'm so proud, I never made a shutif with a guy? What do you mean you're so proud? It's an issur to make a shutif with a guy. Zok the Ritva, it's not a real Isser. It doesn't mean it's really Isser. The Torah says, don't cause the name of a dessert to be said. But if I say, I'm going to open up a ice cream store with a guy, that means that we're going to get into a fight, and we're going to come to court, and there's going to be a shvua, and he's going to use the shame of a dessert. It's something that, you know, you can anticipate. It might happen. So, you know, if you want to go, be extra careful. I mean, this is to avoid ever, you know, encountering the possibility of Shem Elohim Achayim Leisham Al Picha, so don't make a shutis with a guy. But it really just means a midas chasidus, it doesn't mean an isser.
Today you can affirm, you don't have to swear.
Right, that's true.
But
Aser Abba Pater. Pater Abba
Aser.
Pater
Abba Aser. It says Aser, but it's Pater.
But it's not really Aser. Okay.
Aser
Abba Pater. Aser, okay. He brings another example. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to lend money without edim. If you lend money without edim, you can be over on the fnei v'lisitim mechshel. That because you lend money without edim, and then the person might then be tempted to deny it and keep the money.
Or shtar
would be as good as edim. But just like to do it in a friendly way, like you're standing at the vending machine and a guy says, "Do you have $2?" You're not allowed to give it to him. If there aren't edim there, you're not allowed to give it to him. Oh, sir. Right. That's true, right? If you want to just give it to him as a gift, then there's nothing wrong. But to lend him the money, the Ritva says that the Gemara says you're not allowed. So the Ritva says that doesn't mean you're not allowed. It just means that it's a midas chasidus just not to. And he brings a third example.
So when the Rabbanan are guys or something, you really don't have to listen because it doesn't really mean that.
So that would be an example.
You're the example that we shouldn't have brought up.
That would be an example of this Ritva falling into the wrong hands. Right, that would be an example of the draw falling into the wrong hands.
You know, where does that apply? I mean,
right. So you have to have the judgment of Das Torah. You have to be very, very familiar with Gemara and with how Chazal talk to know how to apply this. But the truth is that you know, some of the clues are sometimes is it brought in a halachic context or is it brought in the context of an agadata, of a medrash type of Gemara? Also, if there's extensive discussion about the halachis pertaining to this iser, then you know it was meant as a halachic iser, which I think would cover your example. But Al Kapanim, the third example that the Ritva gives is, and this one is actually a little bit surprising, because there's a place where this is talked about in the Gemara, and it seems to be meant quite seriously, but the Gemara says, I think we mentioned this not long ago in a different context, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be meshachar your eved. If a person has an eved k'nani, the Torah says, la'ilam bahem ta'avaydu, and call meshachar avdai eiver ba'asei. Zak the Ritva, that doesn't mean a real iser. That just means that there's an inyan, not to be meshachar your eved, and you have to weigh that against other inyanim and circumstances. It's an inyan. All these things, he says, is there an inyan in me? It's chasidus. Even though it says aser,
the more it discusses who was it that was Meshachar to have a minyan?
Right, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Right, but that Gemara is actually a kasha on the Ritva, because over there the Gemara asks, what's the lesson of the Gemara that it's mitzvah baba veira? No, the Gemara. I don't remember the words.
Clearly, Gemara discusses the Gemara.
Yeah. I think the Gemara asks mitzvah baba veira, and then the Gemara answers mitzvah derabim shani. But for that Gemara, that's Baruch Hashem Mem Zayin, I think over there it's harder to learn this Ritva in light of that Gemara. But the Zok the Chida, again, the Chida on this Taisus in Tanis about the Shamish Mutas B'Shani Ravoin, he says clearly that's what Taisus means. Taisus, I know it says Aser, but not every Aser really means Aser. Look, this is a Gemara that's talking about the divrei musar v'hisayrus, talking about how a person has to feel connected when there's a tzar by other yidden. So you have to follow. You have to follow the rishonim. Yeah, right. You know, like we were saying, or if you really, you know, were kind of teira very well, maybe you could use your judgment. But it has to be somebody that really knows, right? That's teira, right? But the Chidah says that's what this Taisus means. Taisus means, look, this is a Gemara. It's really an Agadat Gemara. It's talking about how, you know, you have to have a Hergish for other people's tzar. And in that context, it brings a Medrash, you know, a Drush on a story in Bereishis, and in that context, it says, so on that Zok Taisus, it doesn't mean a real Isser. So, yeah, we could take what, you know, we take Taisus as literally. It doesn't mean a real Isser. It's just a Midas Chasidus. So this chidah. So this is brought down in the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Kuf Ayin Dalid. He says this is really the most important Mara Makom when we're applying this halacha l'maisa. That if we accept what Taisa says, and again, if we take the Taisa at face value, not like the Taz, who wanted to say that Taisa just meant it used to be Midas Chasidus, but now it's real halacha. But if we assume like the chidah, that Taisa really means that it's a Midas Chasidus. So then what that means is, it doesn't mean we ignore the Gemara, but it means that we consider it a value, and then you have to weigh it against other values. So then, you know, the place we talk about how you know, between a husband and wife, Tash Shamita plays a lot of vital roles also, and is, you know, it keeps everybody away from Aveira, and it's helpful for Shalom Bayis, and therefore there's a cost to, you know, to being my neyah from Tash Shamita. So it's not saying that it should be completely usher, but it's saying that Bishani Ravine or other types of tsar like that, so you have to consider the cost and the benefit. And one of the costs of yes, having Tash Shamita is that that's a little bit of an indulgence when other yidden are tsar. So you have to take that into consideration. That's the way that the Gemara is supposed to be treated. That's what the Shari Tshuva says, based primarily on this Taisus. Then he throws in an interesting sniff. He says, And especially, he said, if you're in a Ravin Mamish, so then it's, then it's, the Gemara Mamish says, Usser, I'm giving you a little bit of basis to be Makil based on this taste, that it doesn't really mean for sure it's an Isser. But how about if you're dealing with a different kind of a tsar, like a tsar of a war, as the Chidah talks about? So he says, so then, whoever said this halacha applies there altogether. So I mentioned before, there's a Ramah. The Ramah says that just like it applies to a war, so it applies to other, just like it applies to a famine, it applies to other tsaris also. But the Shari Tshuva, quoting the Chidah and the Shari Kenes HaGedola, they said that's really not so pashat. Some poskim said that maybe the Ramah is not right, that it applies to all types of tsaris. Why shouldn't it? So in the Shari Tshuva, he quotes, I think he's quoting the Chidah, who quotes from a Tshuva Sefer called the Beis David, who was a Rav in Turkey in the 1700s, and in Salonika, actually. That's nowadays, I think that's Greece, right? Greece, not yeah. Turkey. Back then, there was no Greece, so it was part of Turkey, I think.
Doesn't it become very subjective what's Eshtar?
Yeah, what's an Eshtar? Sorry, definitely a subjective, right. In fact, there are tshuvas in the category of Ravon, a famine. When is it called a famine? Yeah. So the Shari Tshuva brings down, if I'm not mistaken, that the Chidah writes that when his father was the Rav in Yerushalayim, there was a famine and the price of food doubled. And his father said that's not called a famine. Price of food doubled, so the poor people are priced out. The richer people, there's still food available. It just doubled in price. That's not going to, so you see, there were such discussions about the pratim of it. But Lagabi, other stories like a war. So the Beis David said, that he would argue against the Ramah. It doesn't apply to other things. But what's the source of Mechalik? So he said that the Gemara maybe, when it said that this inyan of not being Mishamish Mitasai, there's a mystical component to it. Because if Hashem is withholding the rain, so there's a number of Mamari Chazal that describe the rain falling on the earth as sort of a intercourse between Shemayim and Va'aretz. And the Gemara in Tanis says that Nemra Pekida V'Leida, Zechira Pekida V'Leida B'Banim, and Nemra Zechira Pekida V'Leida B'Geshamim. That the Sukkim use the same terminology about rain as it does about reproducing. So, and he quotes another Maimar Chazal, it's not in the Talmud Bavli, but a Maimar Chazal where it says that the Mayim al Yoinim are Zacharim and the Mayim Tachtoinim are Nekevais. So then rain is the Zacharim coming to the Nekevais. So he says, that's why Chazal said that you shouldn't be Mishamish with Taz Mishani Rabbin. It's Kiviyachal, it's like in the Bria, there's a Mania of Taz Mishamita on that, call it global scale. And therefore, we're mishtatef with that by being ninna from Taz Shemitah. But by a Mulchama has no shaykhs to that. So he says there it doesn't apply to Mulchama.
I mean, if you're Shana, like you're newlyweds.
Ah, so then presumably they don't have children yet. So we said already, chasuchi ba'anu misham shemitah
seim, right? The Mavel rained for 40 days, 40 nights. It rained.
Right, that's true. So, interestingly, the Rashi in this week's parasha doesn't say Shani Rabin. The Lashon of the Rashi over here is V'zman Shah Ilam Shori B'tzar. That supports the Ramah. But those that argue would say, okay, but maybe we don't pass like that medrash. So what we have lahalacha is that it's brought down in the Talmud Bavli, and over there it says B'Shani Ravin. So the Beis David says this like sort of mystical explanation to justify this position. But I would be more that maybe there's a stronger basis as follows. With the whole time, we're talking about this. Chazal are saying that Yosef wasn't Mishamish Mitas B'Shani Ravin. The whole theme of this, that's a way, Chazal are saying that an appropriate way to be Mishatif with a Tzara is to be Nimna from Tash Shamita. So this sounds a little bit, this is reminiscent of a machlekes that we find between Amram and Miriam. Pare said, Kalabena Yilad Ha'ira Tash Tichu. So Amram said, okay. So everybody should separate from their wives.
Divorce. Mm-hmm.
And he separated from his wife. And Miriam came along and said that your gezeira is worse than Pari's gezeira. And she convinced him, so he took his wife back. So that Gemara seems to be saying an opposite theme from this Gemara. That Gemara is saying that one shouldn't stop having Tasha Shamita with his wife, even though it's an Eitz Tzara. That was definitely an Eitz Tzara called Bein Ayilah Eri Tashlichu. And then, you know, there's also Tachas HaTapuach Eri Aticha, that it says in Shir HaShirim, and Chazal say that that's where Rashi and Chumash brings down, that it's referring to the Nashim Zetaniyos in Mitzrayim, that their husbands were working so hard and they were all worn out and they weren't able to maintain the normal relations between a husband and a wife. And the wives went, you know, they put an extra effort to try to make sure that their husbands were able to maintain Tasha Shamita, even though it was the time of Avdus and Mitzrayim. Avdus and Mitzrayim was also an Eitz Tzara. So these Gemaras seem to have mamash an opposite message than this Gemara Maseches Tanis. And you know, it's interesting. You know, you could be mechal, you could give a teretz.
That was not Eretz Yisrael.
That's true. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Now you could give a teretz that there's a halacha which we didn't mention, but I guess it's kedai too, that when the Shulchan Aruch, before you even get into any kulos, like the Chidah and the Shulchan Yaakov are saying that, you know, it's just a midas chasidus and you have to weigh it cost-benefit. Before you even get into that, there's a kulos that's brought down on the Shulchan Aruch that b'leil tefillah is mutter. That even if you're being noyig this whole isser of asur l'sham v'shepesh v'shani rabin, but b'leil tefillah is mutter. Which means that there was never an expectation of complete separation cold turkey. It really was, you know, because that means, you know, roughly once a month, you know, so that means that it's just, it's curtailed, but it's not eliminated. And if that's true, so then that can maybe answer these tainus that we have from the stories in Mitzrayim. But there's still a big kasha from Tosfos, because if this kula of the Beis Yosef is right, then what says this kasha from Levi? Levi had a baby. So it's not sure he had a baby. You're allowed to be Mishamish Shabtas, say, once a month, so you can have a baby from that. So obviously, Tosfos didn't hold it as kula. So when Tosfos was coming to ask their kasha, well, how come they went and asked from Levi? Because Levi, we find a baby was born, so vice versa, there was once a Tasha Shamita. Why don't they ask a much better kasha? They have these two places where Chazal say, Adarabba v'adarabba, you're supposed to stay together, a husband and a wife, b'eis tzara. That's a much bigger stira to this Gemara and Tanis. Unless you say that there's something particular about a Shonei Ravin. The stories of Mitzrayim were a terrible eis tzara, k'labein ha'yil, ha'yarit ha'shlichu, there's avodas perech, all these tzaras, but it wasn't Ravin. So this already becomes a strong makar to this chiluk. Again, the achrenim bring it down without really so much of a basis. You have the base David who says these svaris like al pi soyid about how Ravin has to do with Tasha Shamita. Okay, but based on these gemaras, there's actually a strong makar to say this chiluk. There's a right to this chiluk from the fact that Chazal and the Tosis, the Rishonim, had no stira from these gemaras in Mitzrayim. That supports the contention that it's only B'Shanei Rabin and not by other tzarais.
Why couldn't you touch on the mat, on the table?
Yeah, no, again, the Rashi in Parashas Noach is not like that. Okay. He says, V'zman sha'ilim shari b'tzar, that's not Tolei and Ravin, but that's just a medrash, that we don't have to accept la halacha. Maybe there's Ravin too, okay. But that we don't have to accept la halacha. But in the Pshat and the Talmud Bavli, this gives us a stronger basis to say that Ravin is Takadafka. And if that's the case, then there's a much stronger, then again, we could say that when we're in a different kind of an Eitz Tzara, yes, we have to connect ourselves to the Eitz Tzara in many ways, but Legabe this Halacha of Tasha Shamita, there's a strong basis to say that it doesn't apply. And again, then and the Shari Tshuva brings this down, that's another sniff to say that at most it's a Midas Chasidus, and therefore, yes, you know, put it into the hopper. People should be cognizant that there is this value in the Gemara, this teaching of Chazal, but it has to be weighed against the costs and benefits of
great.
Right, and you know, and then the husband and wife figure out what's the best way forward for them individually.
So the